Well, children love Christmas, don't you, boys and girls? Put your hand up if you're excited about Christmas. Put your hand up, okay? Put your hand down, and now put them up if you're not excited about Christmas, boys and girls. Okay, there's a few cynical boys and girls around there, but I was surprised. I thought there would be no hands up at that point. But I think, you know, children love Christmas, don't they? But as you get older and you become an adult, I've noticed that attitudes towards Christmas go in one of two ways. You either keep on being excited by Christmas, and my theory is really what happens is it brings out the inner child in you, and you go back, as it were, to those childhood joys and excitements about Christmas. You enter into the Christmas spirit. Others wonder what all the fuss is about. They become cynical about Christmas. They'd rather not have it because it's an expensive time. It's an unnecessary interruption in the pattern of life. And they wonder, why all the fuss? I can sympathise with that view. If Christmas were just about giving gifts, just about eating good food, well, I'm all up for that, just about taking a break, then I guess I'd probably rather not celebrate it. I did some of my Christmas shopping yesterday. I was taking one of the boys to a party, and there were some shops nearby, and I set myself the goal of getting as many presents in the shortest period of time I could, because Christmas shopping is a double problem to me. It's shopping and it's Christmas presents, and I don't like that. But you know, if you feel that way, and even though I can sympathize with it, if that's your thinking about Christmas, if we wonder why all the fuss, we're missing something that's really great and glorious about Christmas. In fact, we're missing the most important thing about Christmas. And there's a reason for all the fuss. And the reason has been found in every reading we've read today, but in particular in that last reading, Galatians chapter 4, where we read, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." God has done something so important that it's right we pause from work to remember it. It's right that we have a wonderful meal to celebrate it. And it's right that we give gifts to make that time special. So what has happened that makes Christmas so special and so important? Well, three things. First of all, it's worth making a fuss at Christmas because, number one, God has kept an amazing promise. God has kept an amazing promise. You read in those verses, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son." Now what that means is that God was preparing to send his Son for centuries before he came. Jesus doesn't just appear and he's unexpected. He comes as the climax and fulfillment of God's promises for centuries. And these promises in the Bible are made in response to a great problem that we all have. And that problem goes right back to the very beginning of the Bible, when the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, broke God's rules and sinned against God. And Adam and Eve's sin led to a separation between humanity and God. Now, God could have left us separated from him. He could have left us like that. But what we find, an amazing thing we find in the Bible, is that from that point, God starts promising that he will do something really amazing about that problem, about that separation between people and him. And he promises that he will send someone who will rescue us from our rebellion and our sin. And he speaks of a savior who will make everything right, who will bring us back to God. And so when Jesus comes, Jesus is a fulfillment of all those promises. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, to some degree, we're so distant from the time of the Bible that we can struggle to enter into that. But Let me think a bit about this. When any child was born around that time in Israel, they would be taken to the temple in order to give thanks to God for their safe arrival. And when Mary and Joseph have Jesus, they bring him to the temple. And there in the temple is an elderly man called Simeon. And when he sees Jesus, we read that he jumps for joy, that he is delighted to see Jesus. And he's so excited because he understands that Jesus is a fulfillment of all God's amazing promises. So God is keeping the promise to send Jesus at Christmas. And that's worth making a fuss about. God's keeping an amazing promise. Secondly, Christmas is worth making a fuss about because God has become a man. Do you ever think to yourself, I wonder what God is like? Maybe sometimes you think and you have a picture of God, or perhaps of how his voice might sound, what kinds of things he might say, or what kind of things he might do. Well, the great news at Christmas is that God has made himself known. So we don't need to imagine or guess what God is like, because all those questions about what God is like are answered in Jesus. Someone has said this: all the guessing about God stops when it comes to Jesus. Now, the way it was put in our reading was really interesting. It said that God sent his son, born of a woman. And what's being said there is something really, really amazing. Because what we're being told is the one who is divine, God's son, is becoming a human. He's being born of a woman. So in Jesus, you might say that you have the coming together of God and humanity in a person. And that's an amazing thing. The Bible tells us that Jesus is fully God. He is God walking the earth. This comes out in a lovely way in a story of a nativity play in, I think it was, South Yorkshire. The play was going really well. All the children were behaving and remembering their lines, speaking clearly. It was all going really well. And then it came to the visit of the three wise men. The first one came on, no problems, delivered his gift. The second one came on, no problems, delivered his gift. The third one came on, and while the other two were on there delivering their gifts, the third one had spotted his parents in the audience. And so when he walked onto the stage and knelt down before the crib, his mind went blank, and he couldn't remember what he was supposed to say. So the teacher whispered the lines, what he's supposed to share, and he couldn't get it. So she basically shouted the lines, and he still didn't get it. So she just said, well, just say something. And the boy looked at little doll, and he thought, what do people say at this moment in time? And he looked at the audience, and he said, he looks just like his dad. And everyone wrote down. And that brings out that Jesus was fully God. He was fully God, but also he was fully man. I don't know how you think about God, but for many people, they think about God as being detached and disconnected from our world. That he's not really bothered about us, and he's withdrawn, and he's aloof. And for many people, God is a bit like, you know, he's a bit like the headmaster who you never see because he's so important, he never comes down to meet the children. Or he's a bit like the chief executive who never comes down from the offices to interact with employees on the factory floor. But that is not what God is like. God has become like us. In Jesus, God took a real human body and with a real human mind, and he was a baby. He needed feeding and cleaning by his mother. As a child, he needed to learn how to read and to write. And as he grew, he knew the whole range of human emotions. And those life experiences of joy and happiness and loss and sadness. And Christmas is worth making a fuss about because it's about God entering into our world and becoming like us. God is showing himself not to be detached, but to be very involved with our world. So God has become man. And then thirdly, God has acted so we can know him. God has acted so we can know him. What did Jesus come to do? Do you know Mark Twain's story, The Prince and the Pauper? It's a story of two boys who meet each other. One is a prince and one is a poor peasant. And they find when they meet each other that they look very alike. And so they think that for a day, it would be a good idea to switch roles, to experience each other's lives. Out of curiosity, they want to do that. But as the story develops, they come to understand that their lives, the lives of the other boys, are nothing like they expected. But Jesus coming didn't happen because God was curious about our worlds. He didn't come down to experience something out of interest. He came for a very important reason. We heard in our reading that he was born under the law to redeem those who are under the law. Now, what does that mean? Well, it links back to the problem we spoke about when we talked about Adam and Eve. Because ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, we've had a problem. We've not been in a right relationship with God. And so to go back to that right relationship with God, we need two things. We need to keep God's rules perfectly, because Adam and Eve didn't do that. And we need our sin to be dealt with permanently, because our sin separates us from God. And Jesus comes and he does those two things for us. He's born under the law. He keeps God's rules perfectly. He's subject to God's rules and for how people should live. And he keeps all those rules perfectly for us. And then we read that he redeems us from our sin. He deals with our sin permanently because he dies on the cross to rescue us. And that is great news. Because if Jesus has done these things, then we can know God personally. I don't know about you, but one of the things that strikes me right at the beginning of the Bible, when you read about Adam and Eve, what's so striking again and again when I read it was of how Adam and Eve knew God in a personal way. We read that they walked and they talked with God. It was a close personal relationship. And the great news at Christmas is because Jesus has come, we can know God like that. We can know God personally. And indeed, the idea of knowing God personally comes out in that reading we had, because it spoke of how we could become, be adopted as sons. We could know God in a personal way. Now, I wonder, can I ask you, do you know God in a personal way today? Do you know God such that you can talk with God, such that you have that relationship with God, and such that you will be with God for all time when you die? Well, the great news at Christmas is that because God sent Jesus, we can know God personally. And that's worth making a fuss about. That's worth celebrating, because God has acted to take away our sin and to bring us to know him. As I close, I want to show you something that was in the Harrods Christmas catalogue a number of years ago. It said this: Christmas is coming, joyful and triumphant, in a blaze of splendor. Harrods is brimful of comfort and joy, overflowing with grandeur. Let the glory of Christmas ring out. Now, I'm sure there are some great things on sale in Harrods. But what I'd like to say is that however good they might be, they are nothing compared to what God has done in sending Jesus. And the reason for all the glory, the reason for all the comfort, the reason for all the joy is that God has acted. And because God has sent Jesus, we can know him personally. And so as I close, I just want to ask you the question: do you know God personally today? Do you know the Son of God who came and made it possible for each one of us to be right with God? If you don't, and you'd like to know more about that, there's a few things you might do. We've got some literature that's free, books and booklets. They're on the table on the right, just over there. And if you want to take one, please do. They're completely free. This is one book, Who is Jesus? We've heard about the Christmas story here, but I wonder, do you know all about Jesus' story? That book's free. You can take one if you'd like it. And then maybe you'd like to know more about the Christian message, about the Bible. We run a course called Christianity Explored. If you want to find out more about that, a leaflet there. And then coming up in February, we do special events now and again, particularly addressing questions people have about the Christian faith. And this one is called Ever Wondered What Happens When We Die? Ever Wondered What Happens When We Die? If you want to take one of those, you'd be very, very welcome. We're going to sing our closing carol, and when we sung this one, we'll remain standing in our pray to close the service. So we'll stand and we'll sing, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.